Then Luke chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 26. How many of you already have your Christmas tree up at your house? You already have the Christmas tree up? All right, people are all pretty early. People are getting them up early. I think Thanksgiving was so late this year. Christmas, everybody's getting their Christmas decoration. How many, by show of hands, how many of you went out shopping on Black Friday? Whether that was Thursday or Friday, you went shopping on. All right, be honest. You know who you are. Your checkbook shows it already. All right, there's a lot of you. How many of you have already done all of your shopping? Anyone do all of your shopping already? Anybody do that? There's a few hands around the building. Anybody have their presents already wrapped? Anybody have presents already wrapped? All right, a few of you. This is it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's an exciting time of year as you think about the Christmas holidays. And everyone is rushing around trying to do everything, get to all of the parties. If you're like our family with four kids, with, you know, two of us, it's like there's always all these things that are happening, and we're trying to, you know, my wife and I, every Sunday night, we sit down and we schedule out and plan out, what does this week look like? Where are the places that we have to go? And a lot of the sports teams are starting to wrap up. Some of them are just starting up. But it's, you're trying to map out who's on first, who's on second, or how are we going to get to this place and that place and get to that practice and pick them up from here. And then you throw in all the parties and the birthdays and all of these things that happen even during the Christmas season. It's crazy. And you're trying to make sure that you have the perfect ugly Christmas sweater. I mean, there's a market for that stuff these days. I mean, everybody wants to have the perfect Christmas sweater, and you know, trying to find that perfect holiday recipe that you have to bring for the potluck or the office party or whatever it is, and getting all those things together. There's a lot of stress of finding a perfect gift to give to that certain person, and we all know who they are. They give the most incredible gifts of everybody, and you're sitting here going, it's either a Whitman sampler, or, you know, you're thinking, I can't even think of anything creative, and they're coming up with the most beautifully wrapped gifts, and there's pressure that comes with this time of year. And if we're not careful, it becomes so chaotic. The month of December is literally, we look back and it's a complete blur. This morning, I want us to, for just a few moments, think about that first Christmas and think about the simplicity of the Christmas story. Because, folks, what happens is Jesus Christ came to earth that very first Christmas. And, folks, it was a simple time. It was a time in which there was lots of chaos, there was lots of drama going on in the world, and yet God chose to insert his son as a baby into this world. And folks, he came to be a redeemer of mankind. And I was thinking about one of our favorite traditions as a family is to go out and find our Christmas tree. And last couple years, we didn't get a chance to do it, but we went up to the mountains a couple weeks ago and to our favorite little Christmas tree stand and and picked out our favorite Christmas tree. And all the way up there, my wife is going, small. We're going to buy a small tree. Last year's was too big. We got it at the farmer's market. You can't tell when you're holding these trees up, looking around. They all look the same. And you'll see if the actual picture of it. It turned out much larger when we got it in the house. And my daughter's cutting the rope off of it. And, I mean, it looked like Christmas Vacation. And that thing opened up. We were going to put it beside the fireplace, and you wouldn't be able to see the TV on top of the fireplace that's so big. But, you know, it's exciting this time of year to think about the Christmas season. But folks, that's not the most important part. When I think of all of our decorations, my favorite thing to get out is our nativity scene. And for years, I've always loved the one Miss Doris Callahan made probably 30, 31 years ago. You'll see it up in the lobby if you go towards Kid City. It is absolutely breathtaking as you think about all of the different characters of the Christmas story and how they fit into it. But you think about it, it's just a simple story of a man and a woman who were engaged to be married, and God chose Mary as the vessel for which he was going to send his only begotten son, Jesus, into this world. And so I love putting that out, and I love, even as a kid, when our kids had the little manger scene, and, you know, it plays the little Away in a Manger song, and then it lights up, and there's an angel that fits on top of the stable, and they love playing with those things, and we love talking about the Christmas story, and really talking about what it's really all about. This morning, as we look at it, I want us to think about that nativity scene and a couple that, if you think about what was going on in Mary's mind and in her heart, that moment that Christ, that God revealed to her that she was going to be the mother of the Christ child. And I want you to think about the Christmas season and a simple Christmas, focusing on the manger, focusing on the nativity, focusing on the story of Jesus coming to earth. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will call his name," what, church? Jesus. All right, we're trying to pick out a name for a baby. We're trying to pick out, you know, what is the perfect name, and you can search and research names. The angel said his name's going to be Jesus, God with us, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. He is going to come as the Prince of Peace. And it says, "Don't be afraid. You've found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, the word of God says, there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." He's giving her a glimpse and just what God is going to use her to accomplish in the story of God. "Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." I've preached through this passage as we looked at Elizabeth. She was unable to have a child, and yet God opened her womb in her old age. And folks, the miracles that God is performing to get out the story of the gospel is unbelievable. He says, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Look back at the nativity scene for just a moment. This is a simple story, a simple Christmas. This morning we're looking at the title, A Simple Step. It's a step of faith that Mary had to step out into the realm of the supernatural, because God was going to use her in a supernatural way to accomplish his mission of bringing the gospel to you and me. And if you think back to that first Christmas, it was a complicated time. The difficulty of those days was enormous. Everything wasn't perfect when Jesus first came, but yet God chose to intersect the gospel with our lives by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to earth. When God sent Jesus to the world, he didn't come how you and I might think. In fact, if you and I had our perfect plan, we would have had him born in a palace. He would have been born with royal robes, and it would have been something so magnificent, the pomp and circumstance. You can imagine all of the purple and the royal robes of those royal times back in Jerusalem. But folks, that's not how God chose to send his son to earth. In fact, the story is much more in line with, it was more of a cave where Christ was born, and that stable was out in the elements, and it was cold and it was dark, and folks, he was born into a trough where animals come to feed. There was nothing sanitary, there was nothing beautiful about it, and it is amazing as the depiction of the nativity is, it was not this just incredible, just beautiful scene. It was something that was probably the least likely that you would choose to have a baby that way. In fact, I've talked to many of our missionaries, and some of them have had their babies in countries that their standards medically are not where ours are here in the United States. And many of them have, they'll come home before they have their baby. Why? Because they want to make sure it's safe. They want to make sure that the sterilization and the standards are up to our level of care. And if there's any danger during childbirth, that they have the help that they need to get through that process of giving birth. But folks, the Christmas season was crazy. So we look at the story of Mary, the moment when God called her to something far greater than she could ever imagine. She was just a simple girl, a child. You can only imagine, yet God chose a simple girl as part of his plan. If you think through the Christmas season, imagine the angel Gabriel came to Mary. It told her she was going to give birth to the Savior of the world. We know through studying these passages of Scripture, the Word of God, if you study some of the scholars, they teach it, she was in between the ages of 14 and 16 years old. So if you think as a dad, I have a 14-year-old son, I have a 17-year-old daughter, you can imagine the angel appears to your child. You can imagine how troubled they would have been. You can imagine what it must have been like for Mary as she would have to run to her parents and say, let me tell you, I had the most crazy encounter, and it was with an angel. And guess what he told me? I'm going to give birth, and yet I'm not even married yet. And it wasn't 2019. This was 2,000 years ago. And yet somehow that was the path to which God chose to send his son into the world. Perhaps you wondered, you know, she's planning a wedding and she's probably texting her wedding planner and, you know, saying, I chose a different, you know, color for the bridesmaids. And, oh, I've got the perfect flowers I just saw on Pinterest and I want to have that particular arrangements because they're just so beautiful. And she's making a vision board and she's coming up with all of the things of what her life was going to be like once she got married. And you could just imagine Mary was a planner and she was getting everything in order, thinking about her house, what it would be like. Perhaps she was thinking, will we have kids someday? I wonder how many kids Joseph wants to have. I mean, I'm thinking all these things that are going through her life. She's planning a wedding, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an angel appears to her and says, God has a plan that he's going to use you as the channel to bring about the Son of God. All of Israel was looking for the Savior, the Messiah to be born, and she knew that he would be the Prince of Peace. They had prayed for this. So in the midst of all of the chaos of planning a wedding, the Lord sent an angel to tell her she was going to have a baby. We see, first of all, Mary was afraid. When the angel Gabriel appeared to her, she was terrified. She was tormented. She didn't understand how could it possibly be that God would send. An angel appeared to her. We see most of us probably have never encountered an angel. And so you can imagine what it must have been like to have an angel appear to a 14, 15, 16-year-old girl. What was it like as he began to explain the story of God and how he would use her? And I don't know how God normally speaks to you, but you can imagine all of a sudden a heavenly messenger appears to your 14-year-old daughter and tells her she's going to have a child. And it's going to be, the father is not Joseph, but it's through the Holy Spirit of God. And God has a plan of how she's going to use her to bring forth the Christ child. This time of year, we often hear the song, Mary, Did You Know? And you know, when I hear that song, I think to myself, yeah, she knew. The angel told her in Luke chapter 1. She knew all about he said, it's coming. His name is going to be Jesus. And she did know. God told her. But when we see God had hand-selected her, he chose her to be a part of the process to bring forth the Christ child. She was troubled greatly at the saying. She was overwhelmed of all of the people in the world that God could have chosen. He chose her. Do you ever feel like that in your own life? Out of all the people that God could have chosen to do this specific job or serve in this specific capacity to work this particular job, God chose you. God put you there. God allowed you to be the voice. God allowed you to be the one who would take the good news of Christ to the lost in your neighborhood, in your community. So imagine what was going through her mind. She probably thought, I'm the least likely person, but God still chose her. Maybe you felt that way. And folks, we can come up with every excuse of why we are not qualified. You can imagine those things are going through her mind. But folks, when God is calling you to something greater, it's scary to think about taking that next step. It's scary to think about stepping out of our comfort zone. But folks, when God's calling us, there are lots of unknowns. There are lots of self-doubts that the devil tries to, you could never do that. You could never stand in front of a group of people. You could never preach a sermon. And folks, that was me, terrified. I mean, I was talking to Dan Forrest a few weeks ago when we were in Israel, and I was talking to him, and I said, did you ever think you would run for lieutenant governor or for governor? And he was like, no. He said, my mom was the mayor of Charlotte, and that was the last thing I wanted to do was be in public service in such a high-profile position. He said, I had no desire for that. He said, but yet God called me to that. And he says, when God calls, you step out by faith. You said, this is the role that God has placed me in. This is what he's called me to accomplish. And I said, I was the same place. I said, my dad was a pastor. I knew what that life was like. And I knew that you don't get weekends off. You don't just go travel anywhere you want to. You don't just do. No, you know that you're living under constant scrutiny. You know that everyone's watching every single thing you do. And folks, the reality is oftentimes we're held to a standard that no one else wants to live by themselves. Our kids are held to that standard. I remember getting in trouble as a child for chewing gum in church because someone told on me. My mom was thinking to herself, I actually gave him the gum because it was better than the alternative. He'd be talking the whole time. So I gave him some gum and it was calming him down. But folks, the reality is I didn't want that for my kids. I didn't want them to feel that constant scrutiny and pressure. But folks, when God calls you to something, you step out by faith and obedience. And so Mary is sitting here. God had a plan. There are unknowns. There are these doubts of whether I can do this. And folks, that's normal. That's part of how God has created us. Yet it's where we find our greatest rewards in this life. When you step out in faith, when we say yes to God's plan, he can and will use us in spite of our deficiencies, of our lack of abilities. God will use us for his glory. He equips us for what he's called us to do. So yes, that first step is scary. I'm not going to lie. The very first step is going to be one of the scariest things you've ever done in your life. But folks, when you do it in obedience, God is right there. His Holy Spirit is carrying us every single step of the way. And it's a beautiful thing. A few weeks ago, we were in Nicaragua. And after the service, I knew what we were going to do, but the other pastors that were with me didn't know exactly what we were going to do. And Omar said he had this kind of sinister look on his face, and he was like grinning like a Cheshire cat. And he was just so happy. He said, we had gone to lunch, and he said, I've got something I want you to do. He said, I've got something I want you to experience. And he looked at me and kind of winked, and he said, I want to take you somewhere. So we drove about an hour out of the city, kind of up in the mountains, and I knew exactly where he was taking us, because a couple years ago when Steve and I were there, he took us to this very same place. And we get out of the car, and I saw there's a little river running through there, and you're not really thinking a whole lot about it. And we get out, and he says, come over here, I want to show you something. So we walk just a few feet from the car, and all of a sudden there's this waterfall that's like 120, maybe even 150 feet tall. I mean, it is absolutely, this picture doesn't even begin to do it justice. So we're looking at this overlook, and he says, we're getting ready to go ziplining in front of that waterfall. Everybody else was like dead silent. I mean, you start getting that sweaty feeling like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, there's no way in the world. And so I'll be honest, 2 years ago when he took Stephen and I there, I was like, I don't know. I mean, this is a third world country. I don't know. Their standards of OSHA probably has not approved this, and I'm not exactly sure. And so a couple years ago, I waited till two of the guides had gone, and I said, Omar, you're next, buddy. And Omar stepped up, and he went on the thing. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting here going, wow. This is way up there. I mean, what am I possibly thinking? And you know what? I'll be honest. When I went back a few weeks ago, I let Omar and the guides go before me too. I was like, I'm going to watch them go a time or two. And then I stepped in. I was the next one to go. And Pastor Bobby's standing here. And Mike, the pastor from Mexico, is standing there. I stepped up on that platform. They hook you all up on the harnesses and everything. And you take that very first step. And I'm telling you, the first step off that platform, you're way up higher than even the waterfall, and you're thinking, this defies all logic. I mean, there's nothing about this that makes sense, and if my wife was here, she would not let me do that. But I was thinking to myself, but that first step was the most exciting, because as you clear the trees, and you're coming literally right in front of a pounding waterfall, as the water's coming off the side of that mountain, it was absolutely breathtaking. And there was nothing, there's no picture, there's no video that even begins to compare to what you experience when you step off that very first step. It's a leap of faith. And folks, that's how stepping out in faith in God works. It often defies logic. It often doesn't make sense. Yet when we step out by faith, it brings the greatest rewards and blessings that this life has ever known. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. In other words, when we're taking that first step, we're believing in a God who is able, a God who is greater than, a God who can see us through to the other side. And so as we're stepping out in faith, we're saying, I believe that God has a greater purpose in my life. And folks, I'm stepping out to that greatness to experience that. Let's see how Mary responded. You look at verse 30 of our text, there was something amazing going on. Mary looks out and she says, the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. In other words, he chose you. There's no one else in the entire universe he saw fit to use as a vessel to bring forth the Christ child. And folks, I think about my own life and your life, where you're at today. Think about, there's no one else that can do the job that God has called you to do. When you step out in faith and obedience, God is saying, you are the very person that I'm going to use to share the gospel with your city, your neighborhood, your coworkers, your school, your world. God is using you, and he has a plan and a purpose to use you for his glory. So this is one of those amazing moments. Look at verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? She's trying to wrap her mind around it. She's trying to understand what God is trying to accomplish. This was one of those moments that Mary was beginning to realize that what God was calling her to do was so much bigger than her. She could not do it on her own. And folks, that's the kind of story I want to be involved in. That's the kind of life I want to live, a life that, folks, we can't do it on our own. We can't accomplish this on our own strength and power, but it's a God-sized mission. That's what I want to be involved with. It's something that's so much bigger than anything I could do or accomplish on my own. Folks, God has to step in, and he does his greatest work through you and me. That's how he works. I love that the angel, when he was talking to her, he allowed her to realize that what God was going to do through her would not be diminished by her fears. Because if you're like me, there's something in the back of your mind that still feels so inadequate, that still feels so insecure, that still feels like, how could God possibly use me? And yet, folks, that's when God does his greatest work. That's when he takes over and uses us for his glory. The angel, look at our text here, he says, the angel answered her, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And look, listen to this, folks. He says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. In other words, the world's not going to see you. The Holy Spirit is going to be all over you. And the power of God is going to overshadow anything you could possibly say or do. And God has totally got this within his control. I love that. But folks, what it does is it gives us confidence moving forward in the path that God has called us to. That, folks, Christ is not asking us to step out and do it on our own. He says the Holy Spirit of God is going to fill you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, after that the Holy Ghost of God is come upon you. He didn't call us to do it on our own. He says, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you the ability. And so he says, it's going to overshadow you. When we come to God in our weakness, that's when the power of the Most High overshadows us. And it's in those moments of our weakness, he proves his strength. Imagine what the Apostle Paul was going through in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect when? In our strength? No, he says, in weakness. So Paul then now has a Holy Spirit boldness. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you look at the verses right before this, verses 7 and 8, Paul is saying, he says, he prayed to God because he says, I've got this thorn in the flesh. He said, it's plagued me for many, many years. And Paul said, I prayed three times. God, just remove this thorn from me. But God didn't choose to do that. He says, I'm going to glory in my boast in my weakness, because that's when God is made strong in my life. When the Holy Spirit of God overshadows us, folks, it's never about us, but it's always about him and making him known and exalting his name. Paul, as we think about this, God may be wanting to use us in a greater way, yet our faith is struggling. Let me remind you, it's not dependent upon your strength. Think about this. God is far more invested in your life and your ministry and your testimony than you do. Think about that. God has way more invested in your life and your testimony and your witness than you do. Because he sent his son Jesus to die for all of our sins. So he invested everything, folks. So it doesn't have anything to do with us. He's invested in us. And folks, it's not dependent upon our strength. This Christmas season, God wants to use you to minister to those around you, to those that you're going to come in contact with. We must be open and attentive to how God wants to use us to be a light in a dark world. This Christmas season, why not pray that the Lord will fill you with his Holy Spirit, that he will overshadow you and allow you to be a bold witness and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at Mary's response in verse 38. If you'll turn there, it says, Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What was Mary's response? Yes. When the Holy Spirit's calling, our answer always ought to be what, church? Let's try that again. When the Holy Spirit is calling, our answer always ought to be what? Yes. See, what happens is when the Holy Spirit is calling us, our only response as a blood-bought child of God who he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy, folks, ought to be yes. Samuel, when God was calling, yes, Lord, your servant heareth. Folks, God is calling us. He wants us to respond in obedience. Because Mary said yes, she got a front row seat to the story of God bringing redemption to man. Wow. Think about for just a moment, because she said yes, she got to be on the front lines, and don't you know she was terrified. What if we screw this whole thing up on raising Jesus from a baby? What if we don't discipline him or show him the right love or attention and respect? What if we mess this thing up? Have you ever thought about that God may have blessed your family with children, and he wants you to raise them for his glory too? And folks, you're to raise up disciples of Jesus Christ, and he's called us as a mother, as a father, to point them in the right direction like arrows and shoot them out into the world to be a light and a witness for Jesus Christ. Well, Mary was probably terrified. And folks, I'll be honest, as a dad, sometimes it terrifies me, but yet I know it's something that God, the Holy Spirit of God, will overshadow me. And folks, he equips us for that calling. And folks, because she said yes, she got that front row seat. She got to experience the power of God in her life and on display for all the world to see. Say, Pastor, what's the application? In order to experience this, Mary had to take a simple step of obedience. Think about it. She had to step out by faith to follow the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ in her life. Mary had to say, I might be just a simple child, but if God can somehow use me, the answer is yes. I don't have a whole lot to offer. I'm sure there are more beautiful women that have been created by God. I'm sure there are people that have degrees and talents and all of these things, and yet God called her. He says, just respond with yes. For some that might be coming to Christ in salvation, we think about what God has done for us, folks. He's called us. And our answer ought to be yes, receiving Christ. What if she had listened to her fears and said no to God's plan for her life? She would have missed out for God's best. But what about the millions and billions of other people that would have missed out on redemption from our Savior? Think about it this morning. All of the people in human history, if Mary had said no to the plan of God, it affects other people. Our obedience affects others. You said, in the same sense, our disobedience affects others. When we don't respond in obedience to God and how he's leading in our life, it affects those around us, our family, our friends, our church members. It affects our disobedience, affects them. The same sense, though, our obedience also brings God's blessing on those around us. And we get to see those things first and foremost. What is that simple step that God is calling you to take this Christmas season? What is it that God is calling you to do? Because for some, that's going to be saying yes to Jesus Christ and salvation. He's been knocking on your heart's door, and you say, Pastor David, I feel that. I know there's something going on there. It's like a wrestling. Folks, can I just say, that's the Holy Spirit of God knocking on the door of your heart, and he wants you to open it up and say yes to Jesus Christ. This morning, the answer for you is to say yes to the Savior and confess your sins to a holy God. But folks, it goes even deeper than that. For some, it's that next step of faith is I need to be baptized, or I need to plug into a local church and begin to serve God. For some, I need to trust God in my finances and put God first and start giving and being a part of the mission of God. Some, I need to start serving and plugging in and allowing God to use my gifts and abilities for his glory as he overshadows me. Folks, it's hard to know what we might miss when we fall to when we fail to step out by faith and experience what God has and wants to do in and through us. But folks, let me say, do what only you can do, and you'll get to experience what only he can do through you. Think about that for just a moment. Do what only you can do, and you'll get to experience what only he can do through you. You see, whenever we step out and say yes, we're encountering the power of God on our lives, folks. And just as Mary said yes, the Holy Spirit of God came upon her in such a way because of her obedience that she was able to experience something the world had never seen before. And folks, the same is true for each one of us when we step out. Our calling is different. What God has called you to accomplish is different than the person beside you or across the aisle or down the road. But folks, as we step out in obedience, we do what we can do, And we get to experience what the Holy Spirit of God working in us can do. That is the beauty of the story of Mary. It's just a simple step of faith, and yet God would use it to help change the course of human history. This Christmas season, what is it that God wants you to do? What is the next step He wants you to take in obedience in this life? Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, I believe there's probably several in a building this size today that have never placed their faith and trust in You for salvation. God, may this very moment be that moment that they understand their need of a Savior. And God, may they come and give their heart and life to You, confess their sins, and begin that new relationship. God, I believe all across the building there are Christians that maybe we've become distracted. Maybe we've become so caught up in the busyness of the season. We've lost sight of that simple Christmas. We've lost sight of that story of the very first Christmas and the nativity and how You would use some of the most unlikely people to accomplish Your plan. God, may it give us confidence this morning that in spite of our weaknesses, Lord, Your Holy Spirit will overshadow us if we'll step out in faith. God, do a mighty work in our hearts this morning. God, help us to say yes to the plan that You've called us to. And God will give You the glory. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If God is speaking to your heart, why not respond in obedience? Let's pray that the Holy Spirit of God moves in our hearts this morning as we sing our final song.